You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. I almost called it the Great Minnesota Progressive Repartee, like the Great Minnesota Get-Together. We should do that. Hey, I'm really hoping we get back to the fair this summer. I mean, I know it's barely spring. We're just past Easter.
The guys as soon as it's warm, let's get to the fair.
I shouldn't be talking about the fair yet. I normally
the
don't
end of
go.
Summer too.
I'm not a classic fair goer. Are you? Are you a guy that goes to the fair?
I love the fair.
That's your thing.
Every year I've lived in Minnesota, I've gone.
Really. Well, I think we need to bring the repartee back there. I mean, I know that sometimes they're not doing we're not doing the full booth setup. I don't know what we do. AM 950.
Yeah, we could do something. Sure. I know a way we could at least my family's music store, Growth Music. They always have a grandstand booth, and we could do a show from there. I know.
Hey, hang on a second. Hold it, just a minute. Hold the horses. Your family's music store is Growth Music.
Yep, my great-grandfather is Chester Growth.
Get out of here. Boy, the things you learn when you listen to the radio. I didn't know that. You know what I bought there at Growth Music one time? I bought a big stand-up bass.
Oh, yeah?
A pre-owned stand-up bass. Yeah, we have it at Solomon's Porch, church that I'm pastor at. And, we got it from there.
Awesome.
I'm a patron. I'm a client. They're still open. Are you talking about the one over on like 66th Street or something like that? Or on Lindale Avenue.
Yep, exactly.
In Richfield, Bloomington. What is it? Yeah, boy, that's your grandpappy.
That
huh?
is where I grew up. My when I was born, my grandma was the owner, and that was my daycare. My dad was the controlling manager, and my mom worked there too.
Really, the whole family affair.
Yep.
Wow.
Now my aunt owns it because my grandma retired, so it's still in the family.
Yeah. So what your family, say that again. As soon as you said my family, my family's music.
Okay.
Tour,
so yeah, they have a booth in the grandstand. So if we wanted an area to do a live broadcast, we could do it from there if we have no other.
Hot diggity. Hey, yeah, maybe that's a thing. Maybe we start putting out the word. Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of fun. I have no idea if we could do this. I mean, I know we can go remote and we can figure out, we can always figure out a way to do the repartee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See what I did there? We can figure out a way to do the repartee from the fair, and maybe we move around to different booths for the.
I mean, we could potentially go record it earlier in the day and then talk to anyone like the politicians there, and then just edit the show and have it air at 4.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Maybe live stream it like we're doing right now. By the way, if you're somebody that's just listening and you want to see, and here's the downside. When I'm in the home studio over here on Peacedale Avenue in the bunker of resistance, people don't get to see you, Hunter. We need to hook up like a camera.
Yeah, we used to have a producer cam here, and
what's going on with that?
We're gonna get that back up. We'll have it by next week or the week after.
Oh. Boy, that's making a promise right there. That's a get it done kind of attitude.
But then I'm sure we could do it a way where we stream the both of us like picture in picture.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. I've got my little setup here at home. I got a big monitor behind me, and I can put you up on the monitor. It's kind of fun when I do that. I don't know if I've ever done that with you or anybody else, but I kind of feel like I'm in a real studio, real television.
Yeah, I like your studio. I like how it looks on the live stream.
Yeah, it looks okay. Yeah, I can't quite get it right. There's something not quite right, and I'm still working on it. But we will nail. Hey, happy Easter Monday. My calendar, my computer, I have a calendar that's built in. It pre-populates calendared events. And Easter Monday always comes up as a marked date, like a holiday on the calendar.
Yeah.
You ever see that? Easter Monday.
What is Easter Monday mean?
I don't know. Apparently it's the Monday after Easter. I don't know why it gets its own day. I mean, normally, I know like after Christmas, there's the 26th of December, I think, in England and other places, referred to as Boxing Day.
Yeah, that's Boxing Day. But Easter Monday, I'm not aware of how it's an official holiday.
No, I'm not aware of it either. But anyway, it shows up. So happy Easter Monday to you. How'd you spend your Easter there, Hunter? What'd you do?
And my mom cooked a fantastic dinner of various meats.
Yeah?
Von Hansen's meats.
Is this a thing you do? You consume the flesh of an animal?
Not by tradition. We just did it this year. But other than that, I had a very relaxing Easter. And then I watched Life of Brian at the end of the day.
I like when people watch those comeback shows over Easter.
Yeah.
Funny. We do that.
It was hilarious.
They sort of poke a little fun. So the Easter holiday is behind us. But more importantly, if you're going to mark a day, you would think that my calendar would pre-populate today as Earth Day. Because it's globally recognized as Earth Day. I don't know. I actually don't know if it's globally recognized. But the globe is recognized in the United States today, which is Earth Day. And there's probably, you know, few days that should capture all of our attention than Earth Day, right? There's some days, like Father's Day is a big one, because most people, I guess everybody has a father. I was even thinking about test tube children, but I guess they still have a biological derivative father somewhere. So Father's Day, Mother's Day, everybody's got one of those, a father and a mother, but not always around, not always alive, not always someone they want to connect with. Religious holidays, of course, you know, they're particular. Civic holidays are kind of a big deal for the people who call this their country, right? So if you're living here, then you pick the holidays that make sense to you, the Veterans Day and the 4th of July and the Armistice Day and these kinds of days. But boy, nothing sort of grabs the attention of everybody and all the things like Earth Day, because everybody's on the earth. It should be a much bigger day. Usually what happens is Earth Day gets marked by some kind of a volunteer effort on like the Saturday before, where people go around and, like, you know, clean up garbage. Yeah, plant trees. Yeah, totally. Totally. You know what I love? And look, I'm all for planting trees. I would love it if people planted more trees, if most of the globe was covered with trees, and do something about the, you know, the methane levels and the carbon dioxide levels in the air. But you ever go into a forest and then see people are in there planting trees, like in the midst of all the other trees? I was on a walk on a nature path over by Lake Harriet. There's a by the Eloise Butler Flower Garden. There's this great little path, and I saw this hawk in there. There's beautiful birds. It's incredible. It's just fantastic. Just between the cemetery, Lake Wynn Cemetery, and Lake Harriet, a little wedged in there is this little, I don't know, quarter of a mile long little nature walk. There's a bunch of new plantings that people have done of trees in there. You know, just kind of tickles me when people go into the middle of a heavily wooded area and plant particular trees, and they put the thing around to protect the trunk and everything from the deer and the rabbits from eating at the little sapling. But I like it when they get in there. Yeah, I heard this comedian, I think his name is Dimitri Martin, and he said,
oh, yeah.
He made some crack about how human beings have such hubris to make birdhouses, as if birds need help with a house. And then he said, and whose idea was it to put a roof on it? They're birds. They don't need a roof. But I guess you put the roof on it so the squirrels can't come up and steal the food.
Birds utilize the houses.
Yeah, yeah. But when they make their own, they call them a nest.
Yeah.
And
they're very good at that.
They don't build it with a slanted roof to keep the snow and water out. Sort of amazing. So happy Earth Day, everyone. Take a minute, look outside, notice something that feels like it's captured your attention. There's always something to see. There's always a smell. There's always a breeze. There's always a sun. There's always a moon. It's really the day, you know, as with every holiday, it should be the day that you, on these holidays, that you give special focus and attention to the topic at hand. right? It's not that that should be the only day you think about someone, right? So if on someone's birthday, you never think about the person other than on their birthday, that wouldn't feel very, good. But if you give them a little special attention on their birthday, then we think about you every day. And today we give you a little boost. So think about the earth that way. Consider the earth. Make it a special focus on Earth Day. If you're in Minneapolis, Twin Cities area today, it's not very accommodating for Earth Day. Like if this was someone's birthday, you'd be like, he's seriously crabby on his birthday. Not sure why he's crabby on his birthday, but here we give Earth its own day, and then you go outside today, and it's like 50 degrees or 45 degrees and wet and hard winds coming out of the north. So don't spend a lot of time outside unless you're prepared for it and have a garment. But go outside and say hi to the earth. Recognize it. I don't know, go into a forest and plant a tree and participate in Earth Day. And after all that good news about, you know, happy Passover, everyone, for the Passover celebrators, mm-hmm. And Easter Monday and Earth Day, still a reality of the things going on in our political situation. So when we come back, Hunter and I were talking before we came on the air. I want to talk a little bit about Elizabeth Warren. EW's pushing the boundaries again. She's doing what she can policy-wise, doing what she can, giving commentary on impeaching Donald Trump. I was quite excited to hear her say that. She's pushing some new proposals. She's doing something. So we'll talk a little bit of Elizabeth Warren when we come back, and then a little bit some local news, too. So this is the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, your afternoon little chit-chat. Doug Padgett in today with Hunter Haas. And on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll be back after the break.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from the Bradcast. Heard every weeknight at 7 p.m., but don't worry, for now, you're in good hands with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on the one and only Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style every Sunday at 5 p.m. You know, I'm often asked what kind of furniture Habitation offers. Now, I can go two ways with this. I can say something like, Habitation specializes in warm, modern, raw, industrial, and organic contemporary home furnishings. But what does that mean? It means that we have some really cool stuff, and that is the answer that usually goes over better. But cool doesn't mean crazy. And I'm proud to say that everything we offer at Habitation is functional and comfortable. The type of furniture that will allow you to express yourself, but still works every day. So there it is. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park. It's the Twin Cities' best furniture and design showroom.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Art lovers, it's time to celebrate, learn about, and collect local art at the St. Paul Art Crawl, running April 26th to 28th. The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you will have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artists' studios, lofts, and galleries. Up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The art crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for your own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community, too, with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
You know, Hunter, when we picked the name for the show, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, we knew that people wouldn't always know what the word repartee meant. Mm-hmm. I just never imagined how many different pronunciations of repartee there would be. It's great. I love it. We give this bumper to people who haven't, listened to the show long enough or at all to hear our own pronunciation of it, and they just come up with their own.
I know there are several. And I like that. It's a good bit.
I love it. It's just great. And they're all right, right?
You just say they're all correct.
It's literally a pronunciation, which means you kind of get to do it your own way. Hey, as it turns out, Easter Monday is an official holiday in the following countries. And I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry. It's like all of them. It's unbelievable. I mean, I can't even begin to go through this list.
I mean, you're a scholar on the subject. Did anything occur day after?
Well, apparently, I'm not as much of a scholar as I thought. But here's the beginning of the Wikipedia entry, which some of it I don't even understand. So it tells you what kind of scholar I am not. Like the topic of Easter is sort of my thing. I'm a trained clergy. I'm a clergyman. But Easter Monday is the day after Easter Sunday. That's how it starts. Kind of getting the
I got basics, that.
getting the basics out of the way. And as a holiday in some countries, Easter Monday is the Western Christian liturgical calendar, is the second day of Eastertide, and analogously in the Byzantine Rite is the second day of Bright Week.
Okay.
No idea what that's. No idea what's going on.
All right.
But I'll tell you what, the list of countries that engage in Easter Monday. So if our international viewership is down today, including New Caledonia and Namibia and Nauru and Monaco and such places, Switzerland, Sweden. Vatican City, of course. Yeah. Vatican City is going to make as much as they can out of this. And apparently if our viewership and listenership is down in those places, that's probably why on this day. So the world's largest organized Dingus Day celebration occurs in Buffalo, New York. A western suburb or eastern suburb of the city, and they do some big to do day in Indiana, in South Bend, Indiana. The day marks the official beginning to the launch of the year's political primary campaign season. So, anyway, all kinds of things. That's why it comes up on a calendar, because it's seemingly important. But let's talk a little bit about Elizabeth Warren. You know what I did? I Googled her middle name. Do you know what Elizabeth Warren's middle name is?
No, I don't.
Yeah, because I was trying to refer to her as EW. Yeah, I'm trying to give her a little nickname, trying to give her a little pizzazz. You know, something like people say, what do you think about that Buttigieg, and what do you think about a Beto, and what do you think about Bernie? And you know, Elizabeth Warren is a solid. That's a name of stature and of seriousness and significance. But you need a little softening in there. You know, I don't think anyone's going to call her Liz. Even if you did, that's not a very fun nickname. You know, it's no Beto, Buttigieg, or Bernie.
Yeah.
I don't know why all those names could start with a B. You know, I guess you could call her Warren, but then it sort of seems like you're, I don't know.
Yeah, Warren's no fun either.
It's traditionally understood as a man's name. So EW doesn't really work because it's like you, and that's not the tone. I'll tell you what. So I thought maybe there's something fun in her middle name, you know. Her middle name is Anne.
Ah.
Yeah.
EAW. AOC. EAW.
EAW. We could start that. EAW. But boy, that is a, like that is a solidly consistent sort of name, Elizabeth Ann Warren.
Yeah,
boy, that, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like that's wow, that's stability right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got that. She's gonna need some, but maybe she just says, "Look, I'm and it's who I am, and you know if the people who in from the indigenous communities who say that your name not only reflects who you are but creates who you are in those traditions, I guess over the I don't know the 164 years she's been alive. How old is she? Is she she's less than 164, isn't she? 76.
She's younger than that.
But she's got that solid name. Maybe she just said over all these years, I'm sticking with it. I'm going to be the solid candidate. That could be really attractive right now with all the crazyville going on with,
absolutely.
With Donald Trump and his criminal lawless family, the family of lawlessness, incompetence, and chaos is what he's doing. Maybe the solid sort of Elizabeth Ann Warren, EAW. Sort of gets us there. All right. So, what do you think about Elizabeth Ann? Ooh, look at that. I bet she was called that when she was a kid and got in trouble. What do you think about Elizabeth Ann Warren, Hunter? What are you excited about?
Well, she's been putting forward a lot of good policy lately.
Mm-hmm. What comes to mind?
Well, today the university-free public mm-hmm. college and canceling student loan debt, and like pretty substantially. By she wants to cancel out. Up to $50,000 in student loan debt for 42 million Americans.
I saw that. I didn't have a chance to read into the article. Is that based on something to do with people's financial need for that? Is it related to any behavior that they do? Like they're going to go teach somewhere and they get a cut, anything like that? Or is it just...
No, it's for anyone with student loan debt because it's become such a burden on young mm-hmm. people. I mean... I have a friend who he's got like, I don't know, $60,000 worth of debt, and he pays $300 a month, which is only the interest. So he makes no chunk, like no progress in paying that out, and is paying still $300 a month. And when I posted that on Facebook, I got a list of like 10 people with similar stories.
Yeah, it's a really big deal. And, you know, for all the fiscally conservative people that rubs them wrong because they say things like, well, they shouldn't have taken out those loans and why didn't they know and all the rest of that. It's hard to imagine how normalized it has become for people to take huge college debt, not even into a master's degree, not even into a doctorate, not even talking about someone going to law school or medical school, just for college loans.
And
the entire culture created this sensibility that what you would want to do is take out a bunch of loans and that's going to work out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm of the age that where we entered college a year before the Great Recession happened, and there was never anyone advising us to be cautious about these things. It was always like throughout school and from just parents and our friends' parents, it was always, you got to go to college. You can get loans for it. No one ever warned us about these things. And then after the Great Recession is really when it was like, ooh, you guys should have been smarter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been coming for so long. I was a youth pastor, worked with high school kids 25 years ago. And I remember having a financial aid person from one of the local private colleges come in to meet with the parents. And they were like, look, colleges are going to be costing $30,000 20 years from now. $35,000, $40,000. And people are like, you know, this is like 1989, mm-hmm. saying to themselves, like, how are we going to afford that? How could we ever? And he was saying then, well, they're going to just change the law. Like, you're going to borrow your way into that. And then colleges escalated their pricing based on the amount of financial aid that became available to people. Mm-hmm. So the entire system of college increased not only tuition, but also student activity fees and dorm fees and just a whole cadre of fees all around the fact that they said, we know people can get these loans. Like at some level, sure, somebody probably said, hey, I just, you know, I didn't work when I was in college. I sat around and played played foosball, and you know, I could have been working at earning some. But that's not where this problem comes from. This problem is not just a user problem. This college debt is that the whole system got so expensive because it was a supply and demand. Mm-hmm. The supply went up with the amount that they were demanding you pay for it. So we sent one message that said you can't be successful in this country without a college degree, and then they demanded more money. Where normally supply and demand would say, well, if more people are wanting less product, then that might make the cost go up. But here, the colleges and universities, they held on to both sides. And then we cut public funding of public colleges, and that drove up tuition. And that drove up other costs and other fees. So we have to deal with this. It's going to cripple this. It's going to cripple an entire generation where they're just floating debt and not owning any kind of an asset. So I think that's a really great bit. Hey, we'll be back here after the break. We'll catch Gary from Minneapolis. And we'll talk more about EAW and her her proposals for what this country should do as she runs for president here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
This is Brad from Robbinsdale, your old buddy, and I'm an avid listener of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950 radio with Doug, Brett, Eric, and Hunter. And sorry to disappoint, I am not running for president.
This is your daily legislative update on AM 950 with DFL House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler. Each day we'll check in with Ryan Winkler for a brief update and ask him about some of the big issues taking place at the state legislature. Busy week ahead for you guys at the legislature. Let's run down some of these bills that might be brought up, and let's start off with the education finance bill, because looking at what's being proposed between Governor Walz, of course you guys in the state house, and the Republicans in the Senate, there's some big differences in those funding numbers when we have the Senate proposing $206 million in additional funding. You have $900 million in the state DFL House, and the governor is proposing $718 million. Can you talk about what's in your funding number and why we need to increase funding that much as opposed to only the $206 million that's being proposed by Senate Republicans?
Well, the basic reason is that schools are doing more now than they have had to do before, and our funding has been flat or declining with inflation for years. So what we are proposing on the House side is a funding increase for the general funding formula of 3% in the first year and 2% in the second year. We are also proposing to help districts that have high special education costs, and we are proposing to help districts fund more mental health, social work, and counselors in the schools, so that as they get kids coming in from all different backgrounds and with all different needs, they are prepared to take care of those kids and make them successful in school.
Yeah, looking at school funding as well, of course, there are a lot of districts that, especially in rural areas, that during the past election in 2018, were not able to get their school referendums passed, and that certainly puts them in quite a bind in trying to get funding for their schools when those referendums don't pass. And, of course, this $900 million bill, I assume, would help with some of that funding that they may be losing.
Sure, and the background is state funding has not caught up or stayed consistent with needs, and so school districts are now on a regular basis constantly asking voters to approve operating property tax increases. So not for special projects, but just to keep services going at schools, they're asking voters to pass them. And it's the only kind of funding that we do for any kind of local government unit where ongoing operating expenses have to be approved by the voters. And when some districts approve them and some districts don't, we end up with huge disparities in resources that school districts have to offer students. And that is contrary to the way the public school funding is supposed to work. It is supposed to be uniform across the state.
Yeah, and I think even looking back at those numbers from 2018, I believe every metro school district actually passed their referendums, while in the rural areas, I think it was only about 50% or so. So certainly, yeah, some schools could definitely use some additional funding. Let's move on.
Go ahead. I was going to say that on the rural issue, I mean, there is less property tax wealth in rural areas. So the same level of funding needs in a rural area is going to cost the property taxpayers more, and incomes are lower. So it's a bigger burden for local schools and local property tax payers to try to meet the inadequate funding from the state.
That was your legislative update on AM 950 with DFL House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler. Each day we'll check in with Ryan Winkler for a brief update and ask him about some of the big issues taking place at the state legislature.
Dad, don't you have a delusional "my dad is radio host Matt McNeil" opening line for this ad?
I'll let you speak from your heart this time, son.
Sure. I drive a Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna. It handles great, even during nasty weather, and it carries all my stuff. I play baseball, and the Sienna has room for half the team and all our gear. The Sienna is great.
Having another driver in the family is a stress reliever, but knowing he's driving himself, his sisters, and his friends in a reliable and safe Toyota Sienna is peace of mind. Thanks, Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 36. Tuesday sunny with a high near 62. Wednesday sunny with a high near 72. And Thursday sunny with a high around 67. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is opening soon with locations at Lindale, Nicollet Mall, and Hennepin County Government Center. The Lindale location opens on April 27th. They'll have meat vendors, some homestead vendors, and greenhouse vendors. Then as the weather gets warmer, you'll start to see that fresh produce. Learn more at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil, and you're listening to Doug, Brian, and Harold. Love those guys. I love those guys. It's the Minnesota Progressive Rev, right here on AM 950.
Yeah, welcome back to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. It's actually Doug and Hunter in today. Hey, Hunter, you know, it makes me think when that hearing that last ad there about the farmers markets opening, mm-hmm. We should totally go do a little remote from one of the farmers markets on the weekend.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. We'll, we'll tell some people. We'll have a little get together down there and get ourselves out. And I bet Gary might come see us over there. Hey, Gary, you're thinking a little bit about climate change, are you?
Well, probably what it is, climate catastrophe. People are starting to realize it now with these hurricanes, droughts, and forest fires and storms like we haven't had before. So it's coming to be in their face, and I remember about 20 years ago, I was actually in the environmental movement when I was younger, and I read a book by Stuart Udall. He said it was the biggest threat to all life as we know it. And so they know, the scientists have been aware of this for a long time. He happened to be Kennedy's Secretary of Interior. You know, we had statesmen more in those days, and so anyways, we're always talking about the Pearl Harbor effect. It wakes people up, and it's starting to come, a bunch of them, and it's going to be bigger ones yet. We've just seen the beginning. And these darn Republicans, they're outliers. There's no other party like them in the world that I know of. In Europe, the conservatives are nothing like them. They believe in health care for everybody, cheap health care, where you don't have this profiteering. And those issues you were just talking about, property taxes, he said the same thing. The state doesn't fund like they used to. The rich don't pay their taxes like they used to because they've been electing these damn Republicans, pardon the word, because they're the party of Hoover. It's class warfare to the hill with all these issues. Thank you for letting me shoot my mouth off.
Yeah, you bet, Gary. Thanks for shooting your mouth off. We appreciate it. We'll take your voice here in the repartee anytime you like. You know, on climate change here on Earth Day, I think it's worth mentioning, and we're talking a little bit about EAW, Elizabeth Ann Warren. And she is obviously wanting us to address climate change, global warming, earth care, whatever language you like to put around it, at the federal level. But you would think that the Republicans, if they wanted to, would have all kinds of cohorts to support the idea that we're seeing changes to the environment, environmental change, that the climate is changing the environmental realities. The two groups that spend more money and worry most about this, that are not, that you might not think about sort of in the environmentalist crowd, the two, the Pentagon and big oil. Did you know this, Hunter? That the Pentagon worries about global climate effect, environmental change, global warming, more than almost any other part of the federal government. Because they're like, first of all, it's changing everywhere, and we see it happening, and it's impacting people's lives. So it goes into all of their planning. All of the like crisis planning that the Pentagon does all around the world, it's all rooted in the notion that climate change is happening, it's real, and it's going to have devastating effects on the environment. So that's happening. NASA spends a whole lot of money. Because you know what NASA's worried about? They're worried about ocean rise. You know why they're worried about ocean rise? Because they, like, shoot things off from the, you know, from Cape Canaveral and all these places. So they're spending all this money to mitigate the rise of the ocean. And, like, it takes a lot of water to make the ocean rise. The ocean's, I don't know if you've seen, but it's big, real big. And then big oil. Big oil worries so much about climate change and environmental impacts of warming. They worry about it all the time. Same reason. Sea level rises. They've built these towers to extract oil out of the water, out in the middle of the oceans. You know what they're worried about? Worried sick that the ocean levels are going to rise and they're going to lose those drilling towers. So even the parts of our government and industry that are so firmly rooted in the Republican imagination, they know it's real. That's what they're into. That's what they're up. So this has got to just get brought up all the time. Like literally the only people saying that it's not real is the president, elected officials, and then some people who just, I don't know, want to believe and say that it's not real. But anybody who's studying the facts, studying the information, I'm going to pay attention to the effects. That's what they do. So Elizabeth Ann Warren, I think, has, you know, I don't think she's really put herself out there as the climate change candidate. That goes to Inslee from Washington State. He's taken up that bit. But I know she's quite serious about this, and she wants it to happen. One of the things I was excited that she was saying the other day on Friday is that she calls on the House of Representatives, you know, and the people in Congress are always careful to not people in the House to not tell the senators what to do, and then senators not to tell the House of Representatives what to do. But she said, I am calling on the House of Representatives to start impeachment inquiries into Donald Trump based on the Mueller report. And I think I'm all for. I think every candidate has to come out and say it. It's making me a little nervous. I'm glad she wasn't one of these, Elizabeth Ann Warren. It's making me nervous. These other candidates are like, wait for the report. Then the report comes out. Wait till we interview Mueller. Then it's going to be wait until we look into some of the things that Mueller said. And I swear they're just trying to run out the clock, and I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. Here's why I don't understand it. Because people will say this all the time. Well, when Bill Clinton was impeached for the affair that he had with Monica Lewinsky and lying about it under oath, when he was impeached, the approval rating of the president went up during the impeachment. So they're worried that the approval rating of Donald Trump is going to go up. Okay, two things on that note. One, Bill Clinton's approval rate didn't go up above his approval rating that he had reached before impeachment. It just went back to those same levels. So Donald Trump's approval rating's never going to get above 47% almost no matter what. And even more importantly, what happened after Bill Clinton's impeachment? The Republicans in the next election, less than 2 years later, won the presidency by a slim recount margin, won the House, and won the Senate. If what you think all of this politics is about is the approval rating, that's not what leads to electoral victories. Approval ratings are not so – that's not what we're doing. This is not a reality television show. Hillary Clinton had a higher approval rating than Donald Trump, and she didn't win the election. Bill Clinton had a rising approval rating, and even though he wasn't on the ballot, it didn't carry over. It's quite possible that what will happen is even if people sort of rally around Donald Trump because of impeachment, what it's going to do is show everyone in the country with a new level of clarity for the next 6 to 9 months about the behavior of Donald Trump, and it should, and I believe it will, absolutely cripple him in his seeking of a second term. I don't think he can win anyway. I'm one of those people, but I didn't think he could win the first time, so feel free to throw that back in my face. But I don't think he's going to win under any circumstances, and the Congress ought to do the right thing, and this is something that they ought to do. And when they do it, I think it's going to play out in the electoral impact because it's going to change the narrative. And all right, so let's jump to Mark and Fridley. Hey, Mark, if you can keep it quick, because I want to get David from Shakopee in too. You have the question about, well, who isn't running for office?
Well, it would be easier to say, to ask, who isn't running on the Democratic side? And over the weekend, Beto O'Rourke lost his chief campaign advisor and her assistant, they quit his campaign. Can't be for lack of money, because he's raised all kinds of money. And Buttigieg went after Bernie Sanders by comparing Bernie Sanders to Donald Trump. But if you want the real reasons to impeach Trump, it has to do with his campaign promises to his friends and his family that broke international treaties, the Geneva Convention, and bypassed Congress. And those are his demands, the unilateral U.S. withdrawal from the Iran nuke deal, his recognition of occupied Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moving the embassy to Jerusalem, his embrace of Israel's new state law that increased Israeli apartheid against Palestinians, and his authority to somehow determine he can annex property in the Golan Heights and give it to the Israelis. Yeah, those are impeachable offenses. And why aren't we looking into those? If you want this guy to go,
I think it's a blur of issues. Good point, Mark. Really appreciate that. Hey, let's jump to David and Shakopee before we jump into the break. Hey, David.
Let me just say real quick, Mark is amazing. Just amazing. So this weekend I finally got a chance to pick it up on YouTube and watch the Bernie Sanders Fox News town hall.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually a candidate, you know, they'll run to the center when they need to. He didn't run from anything. He stuck to his gun, said the same thing he's been saying for a long time, and just explained it in a really reasonable way. And I know who I'm supporting in 2020 now.
Great. Do you have any thoughts about Elizabeth Warren?
We can talk about Elizabeth all you want, but I just...
She'll make a great cabinet member for Bernie.
She'd make a great cabinet member. That's right. She'd make a great running mate, Sanders Warren.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Hey, David, thanks. Really appreciate your support of the show and listening and always your good comments. We appreciate it. Hey, we're going to come back after the break and talk a little bit about Elizabeth Ann Warren. She's running for president. It's been at it for a long time. And so we'll chat a bit more about that. If you have thoughts about her, give us a call. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, 952-946-6205. And this is the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hello, this is Andrew Yang, Democratic candidate for president. And you're listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Branding Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526, 612-919-5526, or autotech.org.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopRex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm Dr. Thomas Adams, President and CEO of Better Futures Minnesota. We're a social enterprise dedicated to rebuilding lives through housing, workforce development, health and family engagement, and coaching supports that give men the skills and relationships they need to succeed. Better Futures Minnesota engages men who had a history of incarceration, homelessness, poverty, untreated mental and physical health challenges to help them achieve self-sufficiency and a better future for themselves and their communities. Visit us at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com to learn how you can support our enterprise.
Hi, Minnesota. It's Tom Hartman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
It's tea time here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Hey, Julie in Minneapolis, you've got some thoughts here about Elizabeth Warren. You're not sure she can win, though, huh?
Well, she's definitely my favorite candidate. I've been for her for a very long time. But I'm going to be perfectly blunt. I don't think she can win the nomination. I don't think she could win the presidency for personal reasons. She doesn't have positive charisma. No matter how much I agree with her ideas and her lawyer-like mind, she doesn't have the twinkle in the eye and the charm, which the American people seem to like. She's 100% attack dog. I don't have a problem for voting for a wonderful attack dog. I wish we had one. I wish we had a Democratic attack dog. But that's the reason. Of course, I'm going to vote for whomever gets, you know, the nomination. I'm least excited about Biden. But I think she's got a similar problem to Klobuchar, believe it or not. I always thought Klobuchar had enough charisma for Minnesota, but it couldn't go beyond Minnesota. And look how far behind she is. So,
all right, Julie, I'm going to ask a delicate question here. Do you think someone like Elizabeth Ann Warren or Senator Klobuchar, do you think because they're women, they're held to a different... do you think there's a different calculus that goes on when people think about that kind of sparkle?
I think there's a somewhat different calculus, but I still believe the American people want a smile and a twinkle in the eye, and they want a certain amount of charm and niceness. Now, I didn't vote for Bush Jr. He did a lot of terrible things, but he had charm, and the American people thought they could have a beer with him.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Al Gore was stiff and Bush wasn't. And Clinton obviously had charm and charisma, whether you loved him or hated him. So I think women are held to a very rigid standard. But nonetheless, the American people, they want a little charm.
Yep. I think you're right. The calculation that George Bush is, which came out in his candidacy, that people would like to have a beer with him. I think that's true. I also believe that we end up voting for candidates that we think would like us, not just candidates that we like. Part of what makes us like anyone is we believe they like us, right? Sort of rule one, if you are trying to make friends and influence people, is to portray that you like them. And the easiest way to do that is to actually like them and then to let that show. People want to feel like the candidate is generous to them and likes them. And that's that charm.
Or you've got to be a great actor, like our current president. He acted like a populist, even though he's the opposite, because in some ways he's a good actor.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a skill to, you know, they often say that authenticity is key. And once you can fake that, then you really got it made. That's the old joke, right? So because what you want is someone to feel like there's a true connection, whether there is or not, right? Because sometimes you need to, you know, you need to put your best foot forward. You're not being dishonest, but sometimes you're putting your best foot forward and helping someone to feel that sort of care and connection. You're digging deep into some kind of empathy. And I think you're right that something about Elizabeth Ann Warren, and I like her. I wish she had a different affect, and maybe that's the word you're using too. This sort of sensibility. Now, what I'm concerned about, what I hope is true, is that I think she actually has more of that than comes out. I think there's more range to her. I think there's more empathy and more connectivity, more of that spark or what would you call charisma? More of that.
Well, it's like Hillary. Hillary had warmth on a personal level. I saw her very up close and personal, and she was a warm person. She had a sense of humor, but the Republican machine of pouring battery acid on her worked, and she was thought as unlikable. So maybe it has to do with how you handle television cameras, too.
Yeah, I think it has a lot. Yeah, I know these people all get training and all the rest of it, and just sort of how one carries themselves and what it means to be a public person. And here's the thing. This isn't just true about being a president. This is true for people that go to job interviews. This is true for people who are trying to influence their company if they have to work with other coworkers in their company. This is coaches that do this in little league sporting events, you know, for boys and girls. They like, there's something where you have to create an affect that people want to rally around and move through and engage with. And it's a really important part of the presidency. I'm a policy interested person and a little wonky about all that stuff. And I think about it and care and want to bicker about this policy and that policy. But most people don't know anything about the policies of the presidents that they vote for because there's just too many.
But the real question is, what is it going to take to beat Donald Trump? That's the real question, isn't it?
That's right. It is. I'm being a little Pollyannish about it. And I'm like, I think have a D beside your name is what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump. But I could
disagree.
Be off on that.
I think he's got a chance to stay there. And my friend in North Carolina, I talked to him, my friend in Michigan, they both are given the same vibe, even though they are Democrats. They voted Democratic. They know their neighbors. And I'm not 100% sure. I think we have to try very, very hard.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. But I honestly believe it's less the candidate this time and more the people in the country. I don't think that's always true.
So.
I think a lot of times the issue is it's going to hinge on who the positive candidate is. Can I vote for this person or not? But I think this is a rejection election. Sometimes there's change elections. Sometimes there's vision elections. Sometimes there's past and future elections. I think this is one about how do people mark their rejection of Donald Trump. Every poll seems to indicate it. All the elections that have happened, the movement amongst people that organize people around the country, the fire because Donald Trump just makes people. And the Mueller report shows it so clearly. His own people working with him, sometimes in his cabinet and sometimes in his office, recognize that he's lawless, that he is incompetent, and that he's chaotic. And
yeah, but his
you
fans
can say anything you want about
that he's
all
the broken
other...
the law too. His fans they think he's
they do.
Kind of a negative person, but they're out there being his army anyway.
Yeah. Look, he's gonna get some votes, right? It's like sports teams where the coach has to tell the basketball team at halftime, right? She comes in and she says to the players, "Hey, they're gonna score. It's okay. You're not going to get a defensive stop every single time. The other team is going to score. We need them to score less and for us to score more, but don't hang your heads when they score." Yes, Donald Trump is going to have 30% of the electoral vote that he can count on. For sure, that's going to happen. It's not going to be he's not going to win. He's not going to go 0-for-nothing across the population. He could win no states, I guess, if it's sort of a romp like it was, with Reagan and almost was with Nixon. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think on the whole, the millions more people that have voted for Hillary Clinton and the millions more that voted for Democratic candidates in 2018, I think they're going to rally around this as a rejection election. And that's what's going to cost. Anyway, that's my hope. That's my desire on Easter Monday. That's the thing. Hey, Randy, sorry we didn't have a chance to get to you, but give us a call tomorrow here on AM 950. The Progressive.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at AM950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.